Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So in Portland, Oregon, they've had now around 70 consecutive nights. Some would call it protesting. Others would call it rioting in the wake of the George Floyd killing in Minneapolis, Minnesota. First, it was Seattle up there in the Pacific Northwest, Washington State, that they were having a lot of protests. They actually took over a few blocks of the city. And they called it the chop zone, but that's since been disbanded, and things are getting back to normal in Seattle. But a little bit south of Seattle in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, Portland, Oregon, again, it's been 70, right around 70 straight nights of activity up there. Again, they're started as protesting, I guess, police violence towards black people in the wake of the George Floyd murder in Minneapolis, Minnesota. What's interesting about that is Portland, when it comes to big cities in America, Portland, Oregon is the whitest big city in America. But I guess they wanted to take a stand. Well, the last couple of nights, it's gotten bad. What started as protesting is not protesting anymore. When the mayor of Portland, and again, much like the mayor of Seattle, the mayor of Portland is all for the protesters. But when the protesters cross the line from protesting to felonious behavior to rioting, then something needs to be done. And last night, the mayor of Portland, Oregon, his name is Ted Wheeler. He condemned the actions of rioters who attempted to set fire to a police precinct and blocked the exits while officers were inside. So much like in Minnesota, they wanted to burn down a police precinct. The difference here was they didn't want to let the officers run out like they did in Minneapolis. They actually blocked the doors, Coleman, while police officers were trying to get out while the building, they were setting it on fire.
So attempted murder.
Yes.
Okay.
That is not protesting. And you might remember, it was a couple of weeks ago where the president, Donald Trump, sent some federal agents in there to try to stop some of this behavior. And then a lot of people, the anti-Trumpers, were like, you can't do that. That's what fascists do. You know, you can't turn military on your own American citizens.
Actually, you can. If an American citizen was involved in terrorism, and if an American citizen was involved in, you know, some sort of hostage situation like the Waco incident, you would clearly have the right to use the military against an American citizen. Or if the American citizen is a defector, yeah.
Yeah, look what our government did in the Waco, Texas situation with David Koresh. And what's interesting here is there was arson there in Waco, Texas. Although it was our government,
yeah,
who burnt down the buildings there. But here's what the mayor of Portland, Oregon, Ted Wheeler, said: "Quote: When you commit arson with an accelerant in an attempt to burn down a building that is occupied by people who you have intentionally trapped inside, you are not demonstrating. No, those aren't peaceful protests. You are attempting to commit murder," the mayor of Portland, Oregon, said last night in a news conference, standing side by side with the police chief of Portland, Oregon, Chuck Lavelle. "Don't think for a moment that you are, if you are participating in this activity, you are not being a prop for the re-election campaign of Donald Trump." So now he's turning it. He's saying, look, all you're doing here is trying to help the president get reelected.
Because
the mayor of Portland, much like the mayor of Seattle, they are anti-Trumpers.
See, at first I had a little glimmer of hope, because at first I thought they didn't have a line. I was like, all right, they're letting them get away with vandalism. They're letting them get away with arson. All right, now that they've attempted to murder some police officers by intentionally keeping them in the building while they're trying to set it on fire, I thought, okay, attempted murder must be the line. But no, it wasn't the attempt. Don't try attempted murder. You're only going to help Trump get reelected.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Then.
He said, and I'm quoting, you are creating the B-roll film that will be used in ads nationally to help Donald Trump during this campaign.
Yeah, so it's not for the loss of life. It's not, please don't kill these cops that's in the building by burning them up. It's, hey, if you do this, you're going to be seen and people are going to get Trump reelected. Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, lighting the police station on fire and then blocking the exits so the cops can't get out. They can burn to death. That will help get Donald Trump reelected. So please don't do it. That's the reason why. Jesus, God.
Oh, almighty. My goodness.
He said, if you don't want to be a part of that, then don't show up, unquote. And again, we're all for protesting here on this show. We love protesting. If there's something you don't like, that's what our country's about. You protest. But again, when there's it's not even a fine line. It's a blatant, obvious, big, fat line of the difference between protesting and felonious behavior and rioting. This is incredible, though. I wonder how long this is. Again, this is now around 70 nights straight this is going on. And again, when it comes to big cities, the whitest big city in America, Portland, Oregon.
The racist honkies.
Hey, hope they get that taken care of fairly soon. That's a beautiful part of the country up there in the Pacific Northwest. It really is.
70 days, you don't have to pay rent, no bills. Like, what do they do during the day? I mean, 70 days. If I take a week off of work, that's it for me.
All right. Coming up on the show, this Andy Dick story won't go away, Coleman. He just filed a lawsuit against the local man who cold cocked him, knocked him out, and sent him to the hospital last summer here in New Orleans. And he's also suing the club, One Eye Jacks, where he performed that night in the French Quarter, for not protecting him. We'll break this down for you coming up on the show. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlind Morning Show. And during this whole coronavirus situation, which is now, what, 5 months old, I remember a couple of times on this show, Coleman and I talking about the legality of everything that the government is doing. Here in Louisiana, whether it's the mayor of New Orleans, Letax de Cantrell, with her restrictions on businesses, closing them down, whether it's the governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, I wondered, in a court of law, how these shutdowns, these restrictions, would hold up. Well, yesterday, we had the first answer to that question, because some Jefferson Parish business owners got together, and they took it to court. They took the shutdown of their businesses. They took the mask mandates. They took that into a court of law, and a judge here in Louisiana in Baton Rouge upheld Governor John Taco Bell Edwards' bar restrictions and mask mandate. She upheld the judge, the governor's restrictions as legal and enforceable. Judge Janice Clark yesterday rejected claims from Jefferson Parish business owners that the governor overstepped his legal authority in enacting his coronavirus rules. So that's the first ruling that we have, because I wondered, Coleman, as someone that always has looked at government kind of funny, which you do as well, and not in a ha-ha, hee-hee kind of way, but the power of it all, the power that they have. And as someone who owned a bar and a restaurant in the past, I would have probably been right next to these Jefferson Parish business owners saying, what are you doing to us over here? And so at least in phase number one of the legal proceedings, I don't mean to use that word phase, because I hate that word at this point, as we're stuck in phase two in reopening the economy here in Louisiana. At least in the first ruling, legal court ruling, the judge leaned on the side of the governor and not on the side of the Jefferson Parish business owners, who said, "Hey, what's going on here? This is ridiculous. You're killing us financially."
I would love to know the reasoning behind the judge's decision. When I think about this as a whole, as a totality, in totality, because the thing about the coronavirus is, When you look at anything else that has a 99% rate of recovery, when you think about those who are the most vulnerable, and that the majority of the coronavirus deaths take place in senior citizens' homes and things like that, and the majority of the population is pretty much okay, her ruling seems to be, yes, in a state of emergency, the governor has the right to shut businesses down, tell people not to go to work, mandate them to wear a mask for the safety of is citizens. But when you look, like, how are the safety of the majority of the citizens in jeopardy when this disease has a 99% recovery? I don't see how. I really don't see how the threat of the virus is over, you know, like the measures that we're taking justifies the actions that we're taking.
Yeah, we've talked about that a few times on the show. Is what they're doing after, is that worse than the actual coronavirus itself? When you just said, and we know there's three groups of people who this affects more than the majority of the people, and that's the people who are already sick,
right?
The elderly, and the obese.
So now we're saying, in a state of emergency like this, if you want to call this an emergency, that the state government now has the power to shut businesses down because they're trying to save lives. Then you look at all the other diseases where more people die, like tuberculosis, influenza. We've just given them the power to say, hey, this tuberculosis thing is getting out of hand now, because look at these numbers. We're going to have to shut this down now. Oh, look at these influenza. Like, we're giving the state government and the federal government and the local government way too much power. And that's the part that bothers me about this whole thing, because they're not going to give that power back. We just gave John Bel Edwards the power to shut businesses down at will.
Yeah,
if they feel like something is a threat.
Did this set a precedent? did this set something where now others can look and point?
And use this as an example. Like, hey, they did it for COVID, so we have the power to do it for this situation now. Whenever something like this happens again, hopefully it never does, but they have that power now.
Well, I think this stinks, and I'll always be on the side of the business owners and the people. Well, anyways, I was wondering how all of this would hold up in a court of law, and yesterday was the first decision that we've received from a Baton Rouge judge, Janice Clark. She ruled to uphold the bar restrictions, the shutdowns, the mask mandate, and she rejected the idea that the governor overstepped his authority. Because some Jefferson Parish business owners got together and they took it in front of her, and that's how she ruled yesterday.
We reached the point of no return. Like, businesses, some businesses are never, ever coming back after this. Some people, their lives are completely destroyed without the hope of recovery after this. You know, it's like, this is the sad part about it. And then part of the whole mandate is there are bars right now that's trying to get permits to become restaurants so they can reopen, because all they were bars, right?
Yeah.
And then they have to buy a permit now to become restaurants. They have to buy equipment and stuff. They have to get into an industry that they're not familiar with, because they're not restaurant owners, they're bar owners. And then part of it is, if you're going to open up as a restaurant now, 50% of your profit has to be made from food instead of just all alcohol. So now they're telling them what people can and can't buy. They're saying if you're going to open back up as a restaurant, then you, like, 50% of your profits have to be made from just selling food. So now they're forcing people to sell food. It's the power that they have now is ridiculous.
Coronavirus has been horrific for business, for businesses, for people, for their finances. And I think coronavirus has been a lot worse for people's finances than it was for the actual disease itself.
Exactly. You got athletes winning baseball games with the diseases, but businesses are shutting down because of the same disease that 3 days you recover from it?
Florida Marlins took a 2 out of 3 game series from the Philadelphia Phillies when at least half, if not more, of their team had coronavirus. They won the damn series.
This is just crazy, dude.
All right, coming up on the show. 66 NFL football players. Yesterday was the deadline. They had to opt out. They said they're either in or they're out. All NFL players had the opportunity. 66 players opted out. Two Saints included. We'll tell you about that. And Andy Dick, he is now suing the person who knocked him out, put him in a hospital outside of the show that he performed last summer here in New Orleans. And he's not only suing the person who knocked him out, we'll tell you who else he's suing. And he's got local lawyers from here, going against the local guy. We'll have those stories and more coming up on the show today here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. You know, Coleman, when I was younger, a couple of friends and me, We thought it was cool after that album came out, Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue, to go to the strip joints that he mentions that Vince Neil sings about in the song there.
Of course.
And a few of them were in Los Angeles, and we hit all of those, Seventh Vale, Tropicana, back in the day. But then the place in Atlanta that he mentioned, I think Tattletales, and they're, you know, different, a couple different cities. I think we got to almost all of them. Thinking of my youth, fun times. But the problem with Vince Neil is he ended up doing, he married some of those strippers. He did more than just do sex with them. No, he's got several ex-wives, and I think most of them were strippers that he met at those places. You know, you're supposed to have fun with strippers, not marry them. And I think looking back now, it's cost him a lot of money.
I would assume so.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. You know, there was a new doll that the toy company Hasbro just put out, but now they're going to have to pull this doll off of store shelves because there's a feature on it that I can't believe they were so stupid to have. The doll is called the Troll Doll. Much like, you know, there are internet trolls.
Mm-hmm. But that's not nothing new. They used to have the troll dolls that was in the 70s. Those little dolls with the fluffy hair and a diamond on their belly button, right?
But here's the difference, Coleman. Okay. These new troll dolls, they have a sensor placement where they place the button that you can push and it makes the doll gasp and do things. The button is underneath the skirt in between the legs.
Ew, yuck.
Hasbro is pulling one of its toys from shelves after a change.org petition says that the placement of one of its features could have long-term effects on a child's mental and physical health.
Really?
And that's the button underneath the skirt. In the petition, it says that the Trolls World Tour Giggle and Sing Poppy doll gasps and giggles upon activation of a sensor between the toy's legs underneath its skirt. And it needs to be removed from our stores. And, you know, I usually, you know, I always say people shouldn't be offended by things. But this, a child's toy that has a button in between its legs underneath the skirt that you can push and then the doll then gasps and giggles with everything that's going on today that you see on the internet. She says it's not okay. It's not fun. It's damaging. And this could have long-term effects on children. And as a matter of fact, the spokesperson for the toy company who made this, Hasbro, the spokesperson just gave a statement saying that, look, the placement of that button, that sensor, was not intentional. This feature was designed to react when the doll was seated.
But doesn't make it any better.
But we recognize the placement of the sensor may be perceived as inappropriate. This was not intentional, and we are happy to provide consumers with a replacement poppy doll of a similar value through our consumer care team. We are in the process of removing the item for purchase.
So, all right.
Who would even think? Now, Hasbro's been making toys for years, Coleman.
I thought we were going to the same direction on this one.
Who would think to make a doll where it has a little skirt and you lift up the skirt and in between the legs there's a sensor that you push and the doll giggles and gasps?
So let's take what he says on face value, that the doll was designed to giggle and gasp upon being seated. Have you ever sat down on anything other than a whoopee cushion and it made you laugh? And then before these toys are released, they go through hours and hours of surveys. They go through hours and hours of tests.
Focus groups,
asking them about this. They go through different designs. So this passed all of that, all of that, and still made it to market, into stores to be sold.
I'm telling you, there's some sick people out there, Coleman. And whoever came up with this idea should not be working making children's toys.
Well, here's what I say on that end. There are people who do make things and they're completely oblivious to how other people react to it. I'm not convinced that Hasbro had the intentions to destroy children's lives or to make anything overly innuendo. I think they really thought the design was okay and they went with it. It's just that parents who have an active imagination with the they can see how it was perceived. So I can understand the miscommunication because troll dolls are ambiguous.
I wouldn't even call that an active imagination on parents, Coleman.
Yeah.
Here's a toy. It's a little doll made by Hasbro, and you lift up its skirt, you push between its legs,
right.
and the doll gasps and giggles.
Right.
I mean, doll looks like a child, and the doll is for a child.
True. But once again, the people who design these things, I don't think that's what they were thinking. Just like that Audi commercial that got pulled because they had a kid eating a banana on it, and everybody was like, oh, that wasn't cool. Why would you have
that? That's different. That's active imaginations by parents.
Okay. But you get my point. The people that make these commercials and make these toys, I don't think they was trying to do this. I can get how they could see it in retrospect, like, oh, my God. But I'm trying to figure out how it passed all the surveys and all the tests and all the focus groups.
Yeah. And I'm still trying to figure out how the toy maker, I disagree with you there. I think there might have been some sick bleep who's making this toy. And then it passed all of that other stuff to get on the store shelves. Well, now it's being pulled. So Hasbro, they should know better. That's a good quality company who's been making toys for years and years and years. Hey, coming up on the show, we will tell you about two Saints who opted out of playing football this season because of coronavirus. In total, 66 NFL players. It's nobody to worry about if you're a Saints fan. But in total, 66 NFL players opted out. And we'll tell you how much they're getting paid. There were two different levels. I mean, they're still getting paid. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. At a post office in Alexandria, Virginia, an argument broke out between customers over face masks, and it became wild, loud, and profane. Matter of fact, a few postal workers said the racket was so loud, it woke them up. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And there's this story that we've talked about a few times on the show just won't go away. And it all started 1 year ago, last August, last summer, it all started when Andy Dick, the comedian, he performed at One Eye Jack's on Toulouse Street in the French Quarter. By the way, when we used to be able to go do things, when we used to be able to go out, One Eye Jack's is a really cool place to go see a band. It really is. But Andy Dick was performing with somebody else there. And after the show, Andy Dick is standing outside the club And then he got sucker punched. He got somebody walked up from behind him and just leveled him.
Hi-ya!
And I remember when it happened last summer, because the video, we had it the next day. We put it on our website, and a lot of people were talking about it. As a matter of fact, Andy Dick ended up in the hospital for at least a week. His head, as he was heading to the ground, his head hit a car, and then it hit the pavement, and he got messed up. And he ended up in one of our hospitals here for around a week. Well, then the story kind of, and they arrested the local man, a guy by the name of David Hale. Tiger Hale. I guess his nickname is Tiger. And they arrested the local man who did that. And he said at the time that he did that because when they were inside the club, David Hale was talking to Andy Dick, and I believe it was a meet and greet or that kind of thing, or he just happened to talk to him in the club. And he said that Andy Dick winked at him and grabbed his genitals.
Wee-wee.
Now, if that's the case, and we've talked about this a couple of times on the show, if that's the case, if David Hale punched him out right there, like as soon as Andy Dick grabbed him by Andy Dick's namesake, as soon as Andy Dick grabbed him there, and then the local guy, David Hale here, then he knocked him out, I don't think there would be an issue. But I think the problem is, and the reason he got arrested, because some time went by, and they were all outside, and that's when Tiger Hale walked up to him and just leveled him. Well, that was a year ago, and Tiger Hale was arrested at the time. A year goes by, and then a couple of weeks ago, the district attorney's office here in New Orleans, in Orleans Parish, said that they're dropping the charges against David Hale, Tiger, because Andy Dick hasn't been cooperative. Well, then the next day, in the New Orleans Advocate newspaper, NOLA.com, one of their reporters got in contact with Andy Dick over the telephone, and Andy Dick said, oh, I want to press charges. He said, I don't want the Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office dropping this case. I want to press charges. And so that's why we talked about it recently on the show, because it came back. Well, now there's a new angle to this story. Andy Dick is suing Tiger Hale, the man who punched him outside of One Eye Jack's in the French Quarter. And he's not only suing David Tiger Hale, he's suing the club One Eye Jack's as well. Because he's saying One Eye Jack's didn't provide security for him. I mean, if he's an entertainer performing in their venue, they should make sure that he doesn't get his lights punched out outside the club. And so now he's got a lawyer. He first had a local lawyer in Covington, Andy Dick, but then that local lawyer in Covington, I guess, passed on the case to a local lawyer in Metairie. So now there's a local lawyer who's representing Andy Dick here, and in his lawsuit, not only against the man who punched him, the local man who punched him here, but against the club for not making sure that, as a performer at that venue, that he wasn't secure.
See, if I was either Tiger or if I was the club owner of One Eye Jacks, I'd be so upset with the NOLA.com reporter because he was like the charges were dropped. You know, Andy Dick wasn't even thinking about it. He was, and they say that he was being uncooperative. I'm quite sure Andy Dick didn't even want any part of it. When the NOLA.com advocate guy called Andy Dick and started asking him questions, it rehashed everything. Like, oh, yeah, you know what? Maybe I can. Yeah, you know what? I am going to sue. I'm scared of that guy to death, but I'm going to go ahead on. That's my Andy Dick voice. And I'd be like, dude, why'd you even have to call him? Everything was done. The charges were dropped. He was going on with his life. We was going on with our life. Everybody's worried about this COVID stuff. We're trying to readjust. And you had to call him and rehash this? I'd be so mad at the reporter.
Well, now, so there are two different things here. The criminal case,
mm-hmm.
which Andy Dick wants pursued. And then here's the lawsuit against the man who punched him and the club, One Eye Jacks, for inadequate security. So there's, you've got two different things here. You've got the criminal charges against this guy and the lawsuit. The biggest question is, and we talked about this when we talked about this on the show a week ago or 2 weeks ago when this came back into the news.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, if David Hale punched out Andy Dick right after Andy Dick winked at him and grabbed him by the privates, I don't think there's a problem there. That's self-defense. Okay. If anybody, I don't care if he's Andy Dick, I don't care who he is, if anybody grabs you by the junk there, I think you have the right to then, I think the immediate reaction would be a punch.
Okay.
But since time went by, since if he did it inside the club, okay, then he did it, and then the local guy, Tiger Hale, walked away, and then some time went by, and then they were all standing outside the club, and Tiger Hale, boy, he was just getting more mad and more angry. How dare that guy grab me there? And then there's Andy Dick standing outside the club, and Tiger Hale walks up behind him and just hit him. Andy Dick didn't even see it coming.
Okay. And that's how you'd rule? Like, hey, time went by.
I'm no Andy Dick fan. Okay. The guy's nuts. We told you how John Lovitz knocked him out.
Right.
Because John Lovitz said he knocked him out because Andy Dick gave Phil Hartman's wife cocaine on the night that Phil Hartman's wife ended up shooting and killing Phil Hartman.
Well, here's the mystery question, Austin. Let's say it wasn't Tiger Hale. Let's say it was Kitty Hale. Let's say Andy Dick did this to a woman. Then time went by. Then the woman went and got a brick and put it in a purse and hit Andy Dick over the head with the purse and knocked him out. Even though the same amount of time went by, the fact that it was a female, would that change your assessment of the situation? Would you be like, well, you did wait a little while, so even though he groped you enough?
No, because if it was a woman that Andy Dick grabbed, I don't think it would have mattered.
Why not? What's the difference? If you're saying the guy should have knocked Andy Dick out right then and there, you would also have to say, in all fairness, well, the woman should have just knocked Andy Dick out right then and there. What would make it? Why does the sex make a difference?
Well, you could call it a double standard.
All right.
But guys should not be putting their hands on women like that.
And guys shouldn't be putting their hands on guys like that.
But if a guy puts a hand on a guy like that, I think a guy's first reaction would be to throw a punch and knock him out. A woman, I don't think that would be, you know, slap the guy or hit the guy with her purse. I think, you know, violence with a man against a woman is looked at differently than violence as man against a man in this particular case.
Please remember, John Osterlin is not an attorney.
No, I mean, standard.
The law should not apply differently because the genders are different, is my point. However you would rule if he had done this to a woman, that's how you should rule it since he'd done it to a man. That's how I look at it. The law shouldn't apply differently just because the sexes are different.
All right, that's fine. That's fine.
That's my opinion, though.
But that's fine. Call it a double standard or whatever. Text us. What do you think about that? I think the local guy, Tiger Hale, I think he's in trouble here.
Okay. He might be in trouble. I'm just
not
saying
only
it's
is
weird.
The criminal case back on, I believe, even though the Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office hasn't announced that yet, but now that Andy Dick wants that criminal charge to be continued, and then that's one thing, and then something completely separate, Andy Dick is now suing Tiger Hale. And he's suing the club, One Eye Jacks.
I don't disagree with that. He may be in trouble because time did elapse, and they can call this premeditated. I'm just saying if this had happened to a woman, then the same ruling you would give to this guy should apply to the woman too in either case, whether you think the guy should have knocked him out at that point, then a woman should knock him out at that point. If you think is not right because time elapsed. Where if a woman had done it, the same ruling should apply. Well, she shouldn't have waited. That's how I'm looking at it. The law should apply the same way no matter what.
If you're listening right now, what do you think? Text us. Keep it short and sweet. Please do not text while you're driving. And text us at 504-260-9595. If it's good, we'll read it on the show coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So we're talking about how Andy Dick is now suing the person, the local man who knocked him out, who hit him outside of One Eye Jack's, the club where Andy Dick performed in last summer. It was 1 year ago, last August. And he's not only suing the man, David Tiger Hale, the local man who punched him, he's suing One Eye Jack's, the club, for inadequate security. And so, and now he wants the man prosecuted as well. So these are a couple of different stories here. And I'm thinking the guy, the local man's in trouble here, David Hale, because he punched him because Andy Dick grabbed him in the genitals. But he waited some time. He grabbed him inside the club and then he walked away and then some time went by and then they were all outside the club later. And that's when David Hale knocked out Andy Dick. He walked up from behind him. Dick didn't even see it coming. Andy Dick ended up in the hospital for a week, a brain bleed. He was messed up. And we were talking about if David Hale hit him right after or right as Andy Dick grabbed him by the genitals and winked at him. If he hit him then, I don't think he'd be in trouble because that's self-defense. But I think he's going to be in trouble because some time went by. And they were all standing outside. And I asked you to text us. And I'm no Andy Dick fan. Well, what do you think?
Tony Rockin says he should have knocked Dick out on the spot. All right. Steve from St. Rose. Sexual assault is sexual assault, male or female, period. Andy got what he deserved. He's lucky that's all he got in New Orleans.
Well, the texter brought that up because Coleman said, what if it was a woman who Andy Dick grabbed by the genital?
Yeah, would the time make a difference?
I don't think Andy Dick really has any interest in that. Anyways, go ahead.
I think that reporter guy needs to be knocked out for starting this all over again.
Yeah, because this all started a couple of weeks ago when the Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office said they were dropping the charges against Hale, the local man, because Andy Dick hasn't been cooperative. And then one of the reporters from the New Orleans Advocate, the NOLA.com, called up Andy Dick, got him on the phone, and the next day it was in the paper again saying Andy Dick saying, I am cooperating, I want charges pressed. And now Andy Dick's got a local lawyer in Metairie who's suing the local man, Hale, and the club, One Eye Jacks.
Pat says, Hale's defense should be post-traumatic stress.
I'd freak out if Andy Dick grabbed me by the junk. But I'd probably hit him right there. I probably wouldn't wait some time and then go outside and then walk up behind him when Dick wasn't looking and then hit him like that.
This one says, I think you guys need to find something else to talk about.
No.
You don't know who Marty Jannetty is, do you?
No, why?
All right, no. Some text asks about him. Yeah, he's not a wrestling fan, text. They just let that one go. But I know who Marty Jannetty is. Anyway, but that was it.
Well, the story, the new part is he's now suing, Andy Dick is now suing David Hale, and he's suing the club One Eye Jack. That's new news here. And the thing happened right here in the French Quarter 1 year ago. So look, I don't like, I enjoy talking about this. Like I said, I'm not a big Andy Dick fan at all.
I kind of think this is an interesting story.
It's a very interesting
because
story.
It does show, like, in, from my perspective, the how I see it is how we react to when a male does something to when a female does something. Because I truly believe if a female came out the club and slapped Andy Dick in the face or did something the equivalent to what this guy did, we wouldn't even be talking about this. We'd be cheering her on like, yes, that's what you deserve for groping this woman. But since it's a male, we're like, oh, no, he should have hit it right then and there because now that he thought about it, you know, I think the double standard here is what's enlightening to me about this story, how we look at things differently based on the gender of the people involved.
That's just one of several instances of this story that make it interesting.
Yeah. So I think we're going to talk about it every time it comes up, Text.
And then the fact that it, something new just came up with this. So now he's, boy, oh boy, what a mess. All right, coming up on the show, thank you for the text. We always appreciate you reaching out to the show. You can always text us. no matter what, no matter when during the show. And text us about anything, 504-260-9595. If your texts are good, we'll read them on the show. And never text while you're driving. Coming up next, 66 NFL players have opted out of this season because of coronavirus. Two New Orleans Saints did. You don't have to worry about those two that opted out. And the Saints actually also put another two players on the coronavirus COVID-19 list. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. 66 NFL players have opted out for this year because of coronavirus. They had until yesterday at 4 o'clock, well, I guess 3 o'clock our time, to opt out. And the total number is 66. And how it works, there you could either be a high-risk opt-out, meaning that in your medical records, you already have a medical condition that would make you more vulnerable to coronavirus. Or the other way is you could be a voluntary opt-out. There's nothing wrong with you. You just don't want to play. Maybe there's some, you watching out for your parents. Maybe you're just having a baby. Maybe whatever the case may be. So there's the high-risk opt-out and the voluntary opt-out. The high-risk opt-out, and it's got to be in your medical records. And if you're in the NFL, your medical records are already known by the team. If you are a high-risk opt-out, you will get $350,000 for this year. If you are a voluntary opt-out, you get $150,000, and that goes against your next year contract.
I'm trying to picture now, who in the NFL is a high risk? You know,
someone who has type 2 diabetes. There are a couple of guys in the NFL.
Okay, I can see that.
I can relate to that.
But to be at, like, you know, when you think of these athletes and how well trained they are.
If you have asthma, if you have hypertension or high blood pressure, but I mean, some of these guys have asthma.
That's amazing.
You could have asthma and be in the NFL. You could have type 2 diabetes and be in the NFL. And there aren't many, but there are some. But those are the two types of opt outs. And again, if you're medically opting out, high risk, you get $350,000. If you're just walking away, if you're voluntary opt out, maybe some guys just had kids. There's nothing wrong with them, but you know, want to protect their, you know, they protect their parents, whatever the case may be. They get a stipend of $150,000 to be treated as a salary advance against his contract next year.
So now I'm thinking, if I'm a bench warmer, I'm looking at how much I get paid and deciding, you know, I could get paid more for being a low risk than I could get paid for sitting here riding a bench and not playing.
The New England Patriots had the most players opt out. The Saints only had two. And those guys were, I think, the fourth and fifth string tight ends. They were both tight ends, but they were deep down. If they were going to make the team, probably just, you see them on special teams, you know, punt coverage or things like that. So the two Saints players that opted out, like I said, they were both tight ends. And I believe they were tight end 4 and 5 on the roster. A guy named Jason Vanderlaan and a guy named Cole Wick.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah, so... But those are, and the Saints put two other players on the COVID-19, the coronavirus list, because they're going to have that this year too. Besides the regular injured reserve list, they're going to have the COVID list as well. And the Saints put two other players on the COVID list. But like most other people, they should recover in a couple of days. And
I think the conspiracy is that Bill Belichick wanted all those guys to opt out because If the New England Patriots do horrible this season, then they'll get a higher draft round pick.
And they could draft the quarterback out of Clemson, who it looks like is going to be the number one pick after this year.
Locks,
next year's
draft. Blonde locks guy?
Yeah, the long hair guy, Lawrence. Yeah, some people have said that, but I can't imagine Bill Belichick throwing anything.
We'll see, right?
I can't imagine chasing the record for the most wins of all time by any NFL coach. So I can't imagine him throwing anything. But so there you go. I'm just excited for football. Take the coronavirus, the politics, take it all away. Just sitting on the couch watching a football game. Don't you miss that? Jesus, I do. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. I just read this sad story. Well, it's sad, but it's pathetic, too. This 58-year-old grandmother who lives in Tennessee put her 13-year-old son on her lap while she was driving. And she said that she was giving the 13-year-old grandson a driving lesson.
Okay.
Well, they then proceeded to run over at least five people. Nobody died, but injured a bunch of people, and the grandmother just got arrested. You know, there's a special relationship between grandparents and grandchildren. It's a different relationship between parents and children, because the grandparents, they seem to, and not every grandparent, but I know in my family, there wasn't anything my grandmother wouldn't do for me. I can say this about both of my grandmothers. And it's a unique relationship. The love is so unconditional. And the fact that the grandchildren don't live with the grandparents makes it even better for the grandparents. That's why there were times where you would think, man, my grandmother is so much cooler than my mother. You know, my grandfather is so much cooler than my father. Well, it's because the love is unconditional. There's a generation separation there, and the kids don't live with the grandparents. So that's why the grandparents, you could seemingly get away with so much more, and you can, and the relationship is so special.
I can kind of understand it. So my mom is a recent grandmother now because my brother has a kid, which makes me an uncle. But the thing is, my mom pretty much treats my nephew with unconditional love and does everything for him, because I don't think she has faith that my brother can do the job correctly. So she kind of steps in and kind of takes the place of the parent, because I don't think she thinks, oh, my son just had a kid. Oh, let me go take care of this kid before my son ruins the kid's life.
Yeah, and the grandparents, again, they only see the grandkids, once a week, maybe it all depends, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less than that. They're not stuck with the kids like they were stuck with their children growing up, being around them 24/7 all the time. And so I saw this story with the Tennessee grandmother, and I'm thinking, what kind of a grandmother
puts a 13-year-old grandson on her lap while she's driving to give him a driver's lesson. Hey, that's not how you give driver's lessons. You when you give a kid a driver's lesson, you sit in the person giving a lesson sits in the passenger seat, and you let the kid drive the car.
Yeah, especially at 13. 13, it has that's to be at young. Least 5'5".
That's too young to be giving a kid a driver's lesson.
13?
Yes.
No, 13 is a great time to give your kids a driving lesson.
Oh, I disagree.
13, like, dude, 13-year-olds, especially males, they're like, what, 5'2", 5'6"? They're almost like the height of an average person.
I think that's too young, Coleman.
I don't think so.
15, maybe 14, but 15, because if you get your license at 16. But then I read more about this story, and I think the grandmother was lying. I think the grandmother wasn't being a cool grandma, putting the 13-year-old on her lap while she's driving and saying, hey, here's a driver's lesson. The grandmother was hammered. A 58-year-old grandmother in Memphis, Tennessee, faces DUI and other charges after trying to teach, this is what she said, trying to teach her 13-year-old grandson to drive, resulting in injuries to 5 pedestrians. Ernestine Holloman.
That sounds like a grandmother's name, Ernestine.
Yeah. Yeah, not too many parents are naming their daughters Ernestine these days. Had her grandson in her lap and at the wheel when their vehicle plowed into people along a street in Memphis the other day. The teenager, the 13-year-old, said, quote, I didn't want to, but I ain't had no choice. So she told me to sit in her lap, and I did. And the poor kid. This was at 10 o'clock at night. On Tuesday, a couple of nights ago. And they collided with 5 people.
Where? Who's out at 10 o'clock at night?
Well, it's not that late, 10 o'clock at night. Coleman, you're driving around delivering chicken wings in your other job.
Yeah, but I'm getting paid for it, you know?
Well, now the grandma, Ernestine Holloman, faces charges of driving with a suspended license or a revoked or canceled license. It's one of those three things. And the charge of a DUI and child endangerment, as well as more charges under the state of Tennessee's financial responsibility law. By the way, her license had been suspended for 5 years. So she wasn't being a cool grandma giving her 13-year-old grandson a driver's lesson. She knew she couldn't drive. She knew she was messed up. And she said, hey, help me get home here. She put her 13-year-old grandson on her lap. That is pathetic.
Yeah, because if you want to teach somebody how to drive, you take them to a parking lot, an empty parking lot, and then let them drive around in circles and loops. But I'm thinking, they must have hit these 5 people all at the same time, because I don't see how you can hit one person and say, all right, let's keep going. Then hit another one, say, all right, let's try it again. Then you hit 3 more people after that. After the first 2 people, you kind of would want to call it quits. Like, all right, wait, we hit 2 people. Maybe we should stop. But they got up to 5.
Well, the grandson said, quote, I ain't want to drive no more. He said, I think this kid isn't going to drive a car for the rest of his life. If something like that happens to you at 13 years old, you talk about being scarred.
Anyway, I can't blame the kid.
Anyways, his mother, the grandmother's daughter, Jennifer Holloman, said, I don't know what she was thinking. I hope she's learning her lesson this whole time she's in jail. I hope she thinks twice the next time.
The next time?
My God.
Next
time she has keys to a car, she's hammered, and she has a 13-year-old grandson with her, and she'll think not to do that again, say, hey, here, grandson, sit on my lap and help grandma drive this car home.
I think the kid will be okay by the time he hits puberty, because he's going to run into a chick one day, and the chick's going to be like, you ain't dating me unless you got keys, and since you ain't got keys and ain't got a car, you can't date me. Then he's going to,
Well, anyways, I mean, I just think about the relationship between grandparents and kids, and then I see this.
I'm glad no one was killed.
Yeah. But five people? That's one, two. And what would, like, you didn't, I don't know, I have so many questions about
that. Oh, the there might have been a couple of them standing together.
All right, yeah.
But if you're 13 and you do that, I can see why the kid ain't want to drive no more ever again. All right, coming up on the show, got the dumbest thing I read all morning, and this happened at a Walmart, and we could all relate to this, because many of us have spent some time of our lives, more than others, more time than we'd want to spend as well, in Walmart. And I've got an update, and a happy story, a good story, on a story we talked about a few days ago on the show. Stay tuned for those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. I've always thought Cindy Crawford was one of the most beautiful women that I've ever seen. I thought
she's
Cindy,
a babe.
Yeah, I thought Cindy Crawford was. It didn't get much hotter than Cindy Crawford. Everybody has personal favorites. Everybody has, and it's subjective. But I've always thought Cindy Crawford was absolutely incredible. She's got a daughter who looks exactly like her, and her daughter. I've got her picture. She's on the cover of the Japanese version of Vogue magazine. It's Vogue magazine, but the Vogue magazine they sell in Japan.
Hmm.
I don't know why it's not here, but I've got the picture of Cindy Crawford's daughter on the cover of this magazine. It's on our website at bayou957.com if you want to see it. You know, a lot of times a mother will say about her daughter, that's my mini-me. Nothing mini about either of these two. They're both almost 6 feet tall. 5'9", to be exact. She looks exactly like Cindy Crawford. She looks exactly like her mother. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Go see for yourself. You know this person, this child was not adopted. Go see for yourself. Cindy Crawford's daughter. I got a picture of her right now on our website at Bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all day. And today it's the dumbest thing I saw all day. It's a video. And perhaps you've seen it, and if you haven't, we've got it for you on our website at bayou957.com. Half-naked man punches Walmart employee in Bro Bridge.
Ew!
A 30-year-old Bro Bridge man is facing battery and obscenity charges after a video captured him punching two Walmart employees.
Oh, both of them.
Well, the first one he punched, Coleman, was a 72-year-old man.
Aww.
72-year-old dude working at Walmart. You know, I'm telling you, people that work in retail, fast food, that really is the front line. They're on the front lines every day. So this lunatic, well, I was going to say, you know, when you talk about crazy people, it's the year 2020. You can't just say crazy, nut, lunatic. This guy obviously is mentally ill. He obviously hasn't been taking his meds. And you could see him, like I said, we've got the video for you on our website. He's only wearing tight, short underwear, but he's got a face mask on. So he is coronavirus conscious.
Yes.
But other than that, other than the face mask, the only thing he's got on is tight, short underwear. And I guess he started yelling, and that's why somebody there started video recording. And then you see him punch the Walmart employee, the 72-year-old guy, although he is helped to his feet, and he looks like he's okay. And then he walks a little bit farther, and he punches somebody else. And then you see he takes off his underwear. They blurred that out, though, thank God, as he walks out the front door. Well, the cops actually caught him soon after. And his name is Kendrick Zenon.
You idiot.
He's seen walking around the Walmart and only wearing tight, short boxer shorts, but he had a full black mask on. And those are the only things he was wearing.
So he didn't get a chance to get whatever he went to Walmart for, like his items, his box of cereal. He probably went to Walmart to go clothes shopping because he didn't have any clothes.
He was not carrying a bag in the video that I'm seeing right here.
See, that they should have gave him a chance to at least go get what he, get his items, and maybe he'd have, you know, been more peaceful about it. Because we've seen people are going to Walmart worse than that. So,
well, and the second guy he hit was 68 years old.
Oh, no.
And so after he hit the 72-year-old and the 68-year-old, he then stripped down of the boxer shorts. And he just walked out the store. But they got him soon after, and now they're getting him the mental help he obviously needs.
What, ass whipping?
Well, that's all. You know, I remember the days, Coleman, you could call a guy like this, just crazy lunatic, this nut. It's insane. But the guy obviously has mental issues, and make sure he gets his meds.
I would have just asked him what he wanted. Like, I'd have been like, excuse me, sir, did you need anything? And just see what he wants.
You wouldn't have asked him where his clothes were?
No, I wouldn't know. I'd have acted like I didn't see. That's the thing. I'm quite sure he only overreacted and punched those people because somebody pointed out, hey, you can't be in here without, you know, clothes or whatever. I would have recognized that maybe this guy needs some assistance. So I would have asked him, what do you need, sir? Let's go get it. Before, you know, people come make you a pariah. And they're like, oh, yeah, I need some jumper cables and a bottle of Vaseline and then maybe some toilet paper. And I would have got his items and been like, all right, and just been cool about it. Now, how are you going to pay? That would have been a mystery question. How are you going to pay for this, sir?
Well, Coleman, maybe you have two jobs. Instead of delivering chicken wings at night, maybe you should get a job working at Walmart.
I've been tempted to.
Well, anyways, the half-naked man caught on camera punching two Walmart employees in Bro Bridge. That's the dumbest thing I read. It's the dumbest thing I saw all week.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
And go see that video for yourself on our website at buyu957.com. And coming up next, I have an update on a dumbest thing we saw recently. I've got an update on a story that we just talked about on this segment here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. We have an update on a story we did on the dumbest thing I read or saw, because it was a video, a few days ago. Remember the guy, the video of the guy on Old Metairie Road? On Metairie Road in Old Metairie, he had the electric saw, and he was cutting through the water pipe of a couple of businesses over there, the donut shop and Fat Boy's Pizza. Well, they arrested him. They caught him. It took a few days, but they got him. I guess he was going for the copper, but they found him and another guy. So they arrested two guys in connection with the string of thefts and damages to the Metairie businesses. Good work, Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office. Hey, it's our commercial free ride right now. We're in it. Sit back for a while. No commercials. Just crank up the tunes here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.